Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Well, welcome to this Seed of Faith brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we've been living in unprecedented times. And I would like to just open in a prayer where Paul, in chapter 2 of Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul asked the Lord to remove a thorn from his flesh. And the Lord answered Paul with these words. He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly about the weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest in me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I believe and I delight in weaknesses, insults, and hardships, persecutions, and difficulties, for when I am weak, and I am strong." We're growing in grace during these times of COVID-19, and it's extremely hard. And I'm sure many of us have asked for this thorn to be removed from our side. And I know that during this time of pandemic and panic, anxiety and anger, fear and frustration, doubt and despair, well, even worry and wonder, we can rest assured that God's grace will be sufficient for us, growing in grace. That's our prayer. Let us pray before we turn to God's word. Lord God Almighty, may your grace be sufficient as we turn to your word. Help us to rest in your grace, that your grace would be sufficient during this time of COVID-19. Help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see your sufficient grace for us each day. Help us to learn to worship you and you alone. Surprise us, O Lord, as you surprise the unnamed outcast in today's story. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 4, verses 1 through 26. We've been here a while. There is so much wealth of wisdom. There's living water here. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? In verse 6, Jesus was tired. That gives us an image of, or an impression, it gives us a realization that Jesus was human. He got tired too. Maybe you're tired. Jesus got tired and he sat down by the well, it says. And it was about the sixth hour, verse 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman had said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Verse 11, "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his flocks and his herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she says. And Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is that you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." Verse 19, "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Verse 21, Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said, "I know that the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Well, over the past few weeks, we've been looking at Jesus and his offer of eternal life and the woman's response. John 4:13-14 are some of the most profound and powerful words that Jesus speaks. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Today, I would like to call our attention to John 4:19-24, and we're going to be there for a while. In these verses, we will deal with some of the hindrances that stand between us and the realization of what we are told in verses 13 and 14. It is in verses 13 and 14 that we are given the offer of the Christian faith. Don't miss it. Go, if you have your Bibles, underline verses 13 and 14, or highlight them, or write them down, put them in your mind. In verses 13 and 14, we have the offer of the Christian faith, the Christian message. It's a message about life and how to live it. And here is the offer, the incomparable offer made by the Son of God, that he will give us new life that'll well up inside of us, a well of water springing up into eternal, everlasting life. And when you have that, you'll never thirst. Later in the Gospel of John, in chapter 7, Jesus goes to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. This feast is a time to remember the days when the Israelites wandered in the wilderness and lived in booths and tents. The Feast of Tabernacles reminds the people how God provided for them with a pillar of cloud by day, with a fire by night to guide them and protect them. The people of Israel were to remember how God had provided manna from heaven and water from a rock. It was on the last and the greatest day of the Feast of Tabernacles that Jesus said these words. Jesus stood and he said with a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty," wow, are you thirsty? He said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him." Boy, that sounds remarkably like what Jesus says to the woman at the well. This is a promise that our Lord constantly repeats. Friends, please don't miss the invitation. Are you thirsty? Come to the well of water springing up to everlasting life. And that, having that well, you'll never thirst again. Are you thirsty? Come to the spring of water called Jesus. In a few minutes, we will just talk about the sacrament of communion. And if we, you know, in a virtual church, we could share it together. I encourage you to think about the elements, the juice, the bread, and partake of the Lord's Supper. Worship. When you hear the word worship, what comes to your mind? Where do you worship? How do we worship? When do we worship? Who do we worship? Let us make it more personal. Where do I worship? How do I worship? When do I worship? Who do I worship? These are the questions we'll wrestle with over the next few weeks. We will look at the place of worship, the position of worship, the purpose of worship, and the person of worship. The place of worship, we're going to talk about that a little bit today. The woman at the well was surprised by Jesus. Jesus came looking for her. Don't miss this. Don't miss it. Jesus came looking for her and found her hiding in the heat of the day, drawing water from a well that would never satisfy her. Boy, it sounds like us. Jesus surprised her in her prejudices. Jesus surprised her in her sin. Jesus even surprised her in her evasiveness and avoidance. Notice after Jesus tells her all about her life, how she's been married 5 times and the man that she's with now is not her husband, the unnamed woman changes the subject and asks Jesus about worship. Well, this is called distracting or redirecting. This woman is avoiding the subject, so she changes the subject. I know, we never do that. Or do we? Sir, the woman said, I can see that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, believe me, woman. What a profound statement. Believe me. I don't know what you believe. I hope that you're going to believe Jesus. Jesus says, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. So where do we worship is the question that the Samaritan woman counters to Jesus telling her all about her life. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we would love to pray for you. If you got any prayer concerns, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon and put your prayers down. Our prayer team would pray for you. If you missed any of the broadcasts, you can click on the messages. If you just want to send a message, you can. I want you to know that you're not alone. I don't know where you're at, but Jesus does. And the Seed would like to help you walk through this time. Jesus met the woman at the well, and she thought she was alone. And he confronted her, and she changes the subject and talks about worship. So the question today is, where do we worship? Where do we worship? That's what the Samaritan woman said. Jesus tries to enter into her life, and she changes the subject. Jesus knows everything about us, just like he knows everything about the woman at the well. And we ask distracting questions, getting the heat off us and onto someone else, don't we? Just like the woman. I do have to hand it to her. The question of where we worship is truly a hot topic. From Abraham to Ezra, some 1,500 years, the people of God built altars and offered sacrifices to God. Moses built a portable sanctuary that traveled with the people for 40 years as they moved with a cloud by day and a fire by night. It was not until the time of Solomon that the first temple in Jerusalem was built. In 586 BC, the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. It was 70 years before Ezra and the people came back and started rebuilding the temple and Jerusalem. 600 years later, the second temple was destroyed around 70 AD when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem, just as Jesus predicted. Surprised by God is our series as we study. Did Jesus surprise the woman at the well with one of her evasive and elusive questions, where do we worship? In my career, before becoming a pastor, I was blessed to be able to travel with Goodyear. They sent my wife and I on some amazing trips to the Netherlands, to Italy, to Hawaii, to Japan, Hong Kong, and China. And I must be honest with you, during some of those trips, I was not a follower of Christ. I was like the woman at the well. I was seeking the things of this world to fill my thirst. I went back day after day to the wells of the world. I was not aware yet that that the wells of the world would never fully satisfy my thirst. On our trip to Italy, I remember going into the Vatican, St. Peter's Church, and the Sistine Chapel in Rome. I was mesmerized by the opulence and the massive size of what I saw. Not only did we tour Roma, as they call it, we also went into churches in Milan and Florence and Venice. We toured the places where Michelangelo placed his magnificent sculptures. While we were in China, we visited Buddhist and Hindu temples. here in the USA, when Jack and my wife, Jacqueline, I call her Jack, when Jack and I travel, we always find a church on Sunday to attend. We've especially enjoyed the California mission churches. God's people all over the world place a high value on the beauty of their places of worship. Today, during COVID-19, while many of these magnificent edifices are now closed and are only open for a small number of people to attend, here in California, our churches have been closed and opened and closed and opened again. The Seed Christian Fellowship, well, we meet in a community center. We rent a facility. We have not worshiped together since March. We're heading into our sixth, seventh month. Instead, we've gone to virtual church online, like most churches. Well, thank God for the online church. It has helped many churches and thousands of people to stay connected to worship together. So what? Where should we worship? In 2012, a Pew study tracked the rise of a new religious group called the Nones, N-O-N-E-S, Nones. That's this new religious group, Nun. They call themselves the Nones, N-O-N-E-S. That means nothing. Or the religiously unaffiliated. One-fifth of Americans and a full third of adults under 30 say they belong to no religion at all. Yet, argues Casper Cooley, a researcher at Harvard Divinity School, this group is still looking for elements of religious experience. His 2015 study explores ways modern millennials seek out meaning in community and ritual in the absence of organized religion. The study started by profiling organizations they deem particularly formative in the lives of their students. And one of the most striking spaces that people found religion was in fitness classes. Most of our fitness places are closed, but they found fitness classes, institutions, and think of the name here, CrossFit. People are looking for a religious experience, so they go to CrossFit, not to a church where a cross is, but they go to CrossFit or SoulCycle. Maybe you're listening right now and you have gone to CrossFit and SoulCycle. And those institutions offer their students more than just a chance to lose weight or tone up. They function like religions. People come because they want to lose weight and gain muscle, but they stay for the community. It's really about the relationships that develop that keeps them coming back. I've heard people say, well, CrossFit's my church, or SoulCycle is like my church. But they mean it in a good way. The study said once that religious perspectives have been opened in our eyes, so many things can come out, whether it's the flag we display or at every CrossFit gym, the way that the space is set up, or how you could follow a kind of liturgy and soul cycle, especially through their use of light and sound. So it's really an emotional and spiritual experience, as well as a physical one, people going to CrossFit or soul cycle. The Samaritan woman raises an important question that's still important today. Where do we worship during this time of COVID-19? I wonder if during this time of panic and pandemic, if we as Christians have learned that the place of worship is not as important as the purpose or the position or the person of worship. In the early church, the heart of worship was worshiping from the heart. Let me say that again. In the early church, the heart of worship was worshiping from the heart. Maybe this is one lesson we can learn during this time of lockdown and being shut out of our churches. Next week, we will continue looking at the rest of this passage in John 4, 19 to 24. We'll study the position of worship, the purpose of worship, and the person of worship. Today, we start with the place of worship. It's my prayer that we have all learned during this pandemic that worship is not a place we go to at all. Before COVID-19, if someone asked me, where do we worship? I would say, well, at Central Park in Rancho Cucamonga. Not anymore. After almost 5-6 full months of videotaping my messages and learning a new way to preach and teach and reach, I have a new answer. Where do you worship, Pastor Dave? And if you could see me, I'm going to point to my heart. I worship right here in my heart, right here. And that's my prayer, that we'll all learn this insight, that we'll all learn how to worship from our heart. I think of the sacrament called the Lord's Supper, sometimes called the Eucharist or the Great Thanksgiving. Throughout the history of the church, the main elements of worship are the reading and hearing of God's word, the word rightly preached, and the sacraments rightly shared, prayer and sacrifice. So in the early church, the elements were the reading of the word, prayer, and sacrifice. And when we share in the sacrament of communion, we experience the sacrament and the sacrifice that Jesus offered. Jesus told the woman at the well to come to him and drink from the spring that wells up to eternal life. Well, if you had the elements, the bread and the juice, that's the spring of living water that Jesus gives. Let us pray. Lord God, we give thanks today for the gift of your Son, Jesus, who has come to give us life and life abundantly. Help us to come boldly to your table of grace, to the well of your water, and drink deeply from the spring of eternal life. Satisfy our thirst. Teach us of the wellspring of eternal life that you offer. Teach us today that while we love and miss our church families, we have learned from this pandemic that there's a new place where we worship in our hearts. Wherever we go, Lord Jesus, we can worship you. We no longer need a building to go to worship. Whether we're driving in our motorhome on vacation, whether we're boating or fishing on the ocean, whether we're an essential worker on the front lines of this pandemic, whether we're at risk or at staying at home, whether we're waiting for doctor's appointments or legal justice to be administered, no matter where we are, teach us once more that we are free to worship you in our hearts, anywhere, any place, any time. Amen. The greatest so what question for today is, where do you worship? My prayer, that you would worship in your heart. I worship right here today, but I also worship every day in my heart and forever. That's my prayer, that we will know the place of worship is not our buildings that we go to, but in our heart. The heart of worship is the heart. I give thanks that you are joining us, and I pray that you would just be blessed this week. If you have any prayer concerns, you can send them to the Seed Christian Fellowship. And we give thanks for all the emails and the support that you provide that we're on the air. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you this day and always. Go in peace this week and drink deeply from the well that springs up to eternal life. And worship the Lord with all of your hearts. God loves you. And so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, PastorDave@theSeedChristianFellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.